When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, which makes this Stuff You Should Know the podcast.
I don't think I shall ever see. Finish, please.
Because of that horrible house fire.
It's good, but it's not quite poetry.
What was it?
I don't think I shall ever see something so beautiful as a tree. Is that right?
A poem as beautiful as a tree.
Is it a poem?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, which is really something because, what was that, Longfellow or Whitman?
No, I want to say like Joyce Carol Oates, no?
No.
No?
No.
We should look this up.
Okay. Well,
we're freewheeling.
While you're looking it up, that's really saying something because, insert poet's name here, really was taking his own craft to task and appreciated his or her own task and was still saying that a tree is lovelier than any poem, which is a real ode to nature.
So I said Joyce Carol Oates, but I was in fact wrong. It was in fact Joyce Kilmer, who was a dude.
I thought for sure it was like Longfellow or... Huh. Yeah. Boy, he was it's a mama's boy if I've ever seen one right there.
Nice. Write poems about trees, what do you expect?
Huh. Well, that's a great line.
Yeah. Boy, we botched that one all over the place.
Yeah, we did. But we're not going to start over.
That's okay. This isn't a poetry slam. This is stuff you should know.
No, we would never slam poetry.
No.
Instead, we would spend our time, as is our wont, promoting trees, talking about trees and how great they are. And Val Kilmer...
Yeah, his great-grandfather, Joyce.
Joyce Kilmer.
Yeah.
He kind of had it dead on, because trees are not only beautiful, they are functional. And as either Longfellow or Whitman said, nothing can ever truly be beautiful unless it's also functional.
Oh, yeah?
They didn't really say that. Somebody said it.
And, you know, we live in Atlanta, Georgia, for those of you who don't know, and... We basically live in the middle of a forest.
Yeah.
If you ever go up on the building here or any building in Atlanta and you think you're in like downtown or midtown, you just take a look out there and you realize, man, there are trees everywhere.
There's a lot of trees.
And people that are from like the West or other places where they're not as foresty come to the deep South sometimes and they're like, wow, you guys live in the middle of a forest. It's a city in a forest.
Yeah. And it's pretty nice. It's nice living.
Sure. Up and down the East Coast is kind of like that.
Right. And we actually live in a temperate, deciduous hardwood forest area.
Ooh, nice. Look at you.
From what I understand. Although there's a lot of pine trees, too. There's those Georgia pines.
Yeah. That
so
is true.
I may be incorrect.
Coniferous. Well, here's the deal with forest. The author of this, I take a slight issue. 30% of our planet is forest land.
Right.
And she says it's mostly concentrated in 10 countries. The U.S., Canada, Russian Federation,
mm-hmm.
Brazil, China, Australia, Democratic Republic of Congo, Indonesia, mm-hmm. Peru, and India. Great. But no mention of, like, Europe? Germany, Sweden, Finland, Norway? Like, serious forest going on there.
Is there enough? I mean, I know there's the Black Forest in Germany.
Yeah, like the boreal forest, basically 10 degrees above or below mm-hmm. the equator, you're going to have rainforest.
Gotcha.
And then between roughly like 50 and 70-ish degrees, you're going to have boreal forests, which is like Europe and Canada and Russia. And, you know, it's like a serious dense forest. And she didn't mention Europe at all.
Those are the northern climes forests.
Yeah. Boreal we're talking forests. Coniferous, pine, spruce, birch. Beautiful, beautiful trees.
Nice.
In Canada, of course, America's hat is lousy with trees.
Yeah, there's a lot of trees there. It's like Atlanta.
1.5 million square miles of forest land in Canada.
Right.
So they got it going on up there.
That sounds like a lot, and it is.
It is.
But it's alarming to consider that we lose about 13 million hectares.
What's a hectare?
A hectare is, I think, 1.5 acres.
Is it?
I believe.
I do know that only...
I'm sorry. I'm not getting one more thing wrong in this episode. You go ahead and talk.
I do know that only 20%, roughly 20% of the Earth's original forest land is still intact today. So over the years, 80% has been lost due to things man-made and things natural.
And apparently we lose an amount of forest that's about the size of Greece every year. So we need Canada. We need Canada's trees.
Yeah, and, you know, there are things like forest fires, disease, insects, competition between species, mm-hmm. acid rain, things like that happen. Of course, that one is actually man-made. And then there's things like logging and slash-and-burn practices, just when you cut down trees and burn them to create a field. So those are things that man is doing to make trees go bye-bye. So
right.
Man and nature are conspiring to rid us of trees, which we need.
Yes. And a hectare, by the way, is about over 2 acres.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, look at that. In show corrections for the first time.
All right. So, Chuck, everybody loves trees, not the least of whom would be Joyce Kilmer.
That's right.
But we like them, too. We like having them around. And they actually serve a little bit more of a function than you would think.
Yeah.
Apparently,
trees, it's not just, they give us oxygen.
Right.
Which is what everyone thinks, which is great.
They actually can affect the climate. And the climate is defined as a period of weather patterns in a localized area over about a 30-year, at least, stretch.
I think not many people realize that.
Everything else is just weather.
Yeah.
You know, anything under that. Although I imagine once you start getting into like the 28, 29
that's
years.
Climate-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll be like, okay, all right, that's climate, fine.
That is true. And our planet is warming. We're not going to get into the whole rigmarole of global warming and all that entails, although we should do that in earnest one day.
Yep.
But the climate is warming here on the planet, and it is heating up by about 1 to 1.5 degrees per 100 years, or at least over the past century.
Yeah, and that's an important qualifier, too, because it wasn't supposedly until the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, starting around 1830, that after that we started to see temperatures rise thanks to global warming.
Right.
So the fact that it rose by 1 to 1.5 degrees in a century, that's significant. Even
though
it doesn't seem like much.
Not to us humans.
Like, you can breathe into your hands and raise the weather around your face by more than just 1 degree.
Yeah, it'd also be foggy.
Yeah.
You know?
And a little smelly.
It's not a weather.
Depending on, you know.
Okay. So, how can trees affect our climate? Really three main ways, right?
Yes. So, the first is to lower temperatures.
Yeah.
Which is something they do themselves.
Yes.
Next, they reduce energy usage.
Yeah.
Which is a new phenomenon for trees because we've only had, like, air conditioning for 50, 60, 70 years.
Yeah.
But it's a new gift that trees give us.
That's true.
And then they actually remove air pollutants, which is pretty awesome.
All right. So let's start with the first one. They lower temperatures. They act as a natural air conditioner for the world in a way through a process called evapotranspiration. No huge shock. That is a mix of both things going on at the same time.
Right.
Evaporation and transpiration, both of which release moisture into the air,
mm-hmm.
One by way of drawing water from lakes, and we talked about in our clouds episode.
Yeah.
That's how we eventually get clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And then transpiration is when trees pull up water through the roots, work its way up through the tree, and then eventually leave from the leaves.
Right. And we don't actually see, like after like a heavy rain in the summer,
yeah.
You can see the evaporation going on.
Yeah.
And probably what you're seeing off of the trees is actually evaporation off of the leaves. Transpiration is invisible.
It's vapor.
But over like the course of a year, a large oak tree supposedly can transpire about 40,000 gallons of water.
That is crazy.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So they come, they bring up all the nutrients through the water, they take what they can, and
sure.
they pee it out their leaves into the atmosphere.
As vapor.
Right.
Not as urine.
Right.
No.
But since that's going on, especially when it's going on at the same time as evaporation, it produces water vapor, and it can actually decrease the temperature.
That's right. And like you said, it you know, a big thing now, and it's not now, actually. That's the funny thing. A lot of things that people do now to be green are things people did many years ago as just way of life.
Yeah, homesteaders.
Yeah. Like Emily's grandmother, and actually my grandmother, too, they were like, you know, they composted and did all that stuff because it was a way of life, and they didn't have trash pickup.
Homesteaders.
Yeah, and now we're like, oh, yeah, I compost. I'm like, big deal.
Right.
It's nothing new.
Right.
I mean, it is a big deal. You should do stuff like that. But you know what I'm saying?
Right.
People like nowadays think they invented the green movement.
Yeah.
When it was our forefathers, really, and mothers.
Yeah, I guess just as long as you're not, like, burning trash.
Yeah, that's
you're,
true.
You're doing good.
So what led me on that mini rant against our people of this age is that passive heating and cooling is a big thing now. But it was a big thing way back when, because before they had air conditioners and things, they would, you know, plant trees where it made the most sense. Or not plant trees, but plant houses near, between
plant
trees.
Where this it made house the, is going to grow.
Where it made the most sense. So, like, they say, I think a tree to the north of your house and the south of the house can cut down on your energy expenses by how much?
Well, heating costs 2 to 8% and cooling costs by 8 to 18%. And you want to plant one, at least one tree to the west and one tree to the south.
Deciduous trees.
Yes, that's the key. If
yeah.
you plant a big old magnolia tree,
yeah.
you're going to be like, wah, wah, wah. Because while it'll cool your house in the summer by keeping some sunlight off of it,
yeah.
projecting shade, in the wintertime, it'll still keep sunlight off of it. With a deciduous tree, they lose their leaves. So the sun shines through the branches during the wintertime. So it cools your house in the summer by producing shade.
Yep.
Warms your house in the winter by letting the sunlight through.
Yeah, and I love magnolia trees, but boy, you ever had one on your property? It's a pain.
Yeah.
Waxy leaves that don't disintegrate ever or mm-hmm. biodegrade.
Mm-hmm.
They just are there. And then those grenades, which were great as a kid when you played war, but they're not so great when they're all over your yard.
Right.
And then pine trees, which I love to look at as well here in Georgia, they're also a big pain.
Yeah, they can be.
Yeah.
But they, well, yeah, they don't lose their leaves on an annual cycle. They just lose them all the time, but they're always, they always have the needles.
That's true. But with the magnolia, though, you also get the lovely scented flower.
Mm-hmm.
And you can snip those off and put it in a little water bowl in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a natural air freshener.
Nice.
So my neighbor has...
Homesteader.
Well, my neighbor has a magnolia, and one branch hangs over into my yard. And so I will clip flowers and not really have to deal with much of the waxy leaves. So it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Sounds like you're living the life.
I'm living the life, man.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible.
That's right. It's even in the name. Use code STUFF20 at checkout to receive $20 off your first month. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month every month, taxes and fees included.
Yep. Again, use promo code STUFF20 and you'll receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Switch now at visible.com.
For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
So,
passive heating and cooling.
Evapotranspiration.
That is a great thing that trees do, and they can also help cut down on what's called the heat island effect, which is bad in cities.
Yeah, we have that bad here.
Yeah.
So there's this thing called the albedo effect, right? Where if you are dark-colored, wearing a dark shirt, you're wearing a black shirt right now.
That's right.
You would be hotter in that shirt than you would if you were wearing a white shirt. Why? I'll tell you why. White shirts reflect sunlight. Yeah. Black shirts absorb sunlight and trap heat. Same thing with asphalt, same thing with dark rooftops. And when you put all this stuff together,
yeah,
it actually absorbs all this heat, traps it. And so when you're in a city, it's frequently much harder by several degrees than it is out in the suburbs where you have more trees and lawns and stuff like that that aren't going to absorb the heat quite as much.
Yeah, and I lived in Yuma, Arizona, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of white cars in Yuma.
Yeah.
Not a lot of black cars. And they actually have, I might have mentioned this before, they have almost carpet that they put on their dashboards. And it's like a thing. It's like fit to the car and it's Velcroed on.
Mm-hmm.
And it saves your dashboard.
Oh, yeah. And but you have carpet on your dashboard.
Yeah, pretty much. And you go to the video store at the time. This is, you know, they had video stores back then in the, you know, mid-90s.
Right.
And they would have, you know, melted video cassettes on display as a reminder.
Yeah, I've seen those. Or like the Ticketmaster tickets. It's like, don't leave them in your glove box or this will happen.
What, do they like catch fire?
It looks like they caught fire, but it was just heat exposure.
Is that the average Ticketmaster employee?
That's what the sign sounds like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't.
Just pay $1 million for fees. So that's the heat island effect in Atlanta, 5 to 8 degrees hotter. And Phoenix, in 1950, it was 6 degrees warmer than the nearby Casa Grande Monument.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that stat is. Oh, because in 2007, it was 14 degrees. Okay, I get it.
Yeah?
So it's getting hotter in these cities as urban sprawl and the black tops of asphalt take over the world.
Yeah, exactly. Phoenix isn't exactly like a work, live, play, walkable community. It's pretty drivey, right? Or at least golf carty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, same with Atlanta. So you got sprawl, which is going to increase that urban heat island effect.
Yeah, Phoenix is big time sprawl.
Yes, but trees help counteract this. They cut it down. They say, no more of this. We're going to provide you passive energy savings and evapotranspiration. And while we're at it, you know all this horrible air that you're breathing? We're going to filter it for you. We're going to throw that in as a bonus.
Included in the low, low price. They will filter dust, ozone, carbon monoxide, other kinds of pollutants. And through photosynthesis, they actually remove CO2, which is a greenhouse gas, as we all know.
Right.
They remove it and release oxygen instead, and they can actually even store it.
Yeah, they sequester it in the forest soil. And apparently, that soil, depending on where you are, I think in a deciduous temperate forest, that carbon dioxide will be stored for anywhere from 10,000 to 100,000 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that.
We talked about carbon sequestration before.
Yeah.
Or what? Was it desertification?
Desertification, maybe, or earthworms.
Yeah.
We play in the dirt a lot.
Yeah, we do. The earthworm one, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
So the trees are filtering out the air. But they actually, and this is a little known, Ronald Reagan actually once said, trees pollute more than cars do any day of the week. And he was not entirely wrong.
Yeah, I don't quite get this, the photochemical smog.
Okay, so when it gets hot, trees have this volatile organic compounds, two of which are terpenes and isoprenes.
Okay.
Okay? And they give them off of their leaves. It's just like, it's too hot. I got to get rid of my VOCs.
Right.
And isoprenes in particular act as a catalyst. They speed up the breakdown by sunlight of nitrous oxides into ozone. And ozone is a big contributor to smog. So basically, when the trees are like giving off these volatile organic compounds, they're accelerating the production of smog indirectly.
Ah, okay.
You know?
Right.
So when you mix sunlight, photo, with these chemicals, photochemical,
right.
smog. It's from the breakdown of like car exhaust into ozone, which scratches our eyes and makes us itchy and hard to breathe.
So we should cut down all the trees.
Pretty much. That's what Ronald Reagan thought.
No, of course not. And that's like the one negative effect that we can find, right?
Oh, yeah. Other than that, trees. Oh, well, that and falling on somebody or your house or something. Other than that, trees are great.
Right. That happens a lot in Atlanta with the heavy rains.
Well, it does because we went through a drought cycle where the roots all started to come toward the surface.
Yep.
And then when you get a heavy rain, the tree's no longer planted like it was, and it just tips over.
Yeah,
it's a big problem.
Just the other day, another guy sitting in his car.
Man, they love talking about that on the news.
Yeah.
It'll be like, crime, crime, crime. Oh, tree fell over. Let's go cover that instead. that's the Atlanta news.
Yeah, because, boy, there's a lot. Do you watch the local news?
Sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, I'll see it, you know, out of the corner of my eye.
I haven't watched the local news since I was probably in high school.
It's good on, like, the treadmill. Like, when you can't hear anything.
Yeah.
It's good for that.
When they're in front of the varsity interviewing somebody about something important.
A tree falling over.
What do you think about this?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about global warming.
Mm-hmm.
Can we actually plant trees and get more forest land to actually help this out?
That's what Pearl Jam used to do to offset the carbon usage or emissions for their tours. Did you know that?
They planted trees.
Yeah, they calculate like how much like their jets emitted, like in greenhouse gases, CO2, I think specifically, how much like their fans, cars emitted like on the way to the venue,
right.
like for a whole tour.
Wow.
And then they calculate it and then like they would buy an equal amount of trees or however much, you know, carbon a number of trees could sequester. That's how much they got to offset their tour. And then Al Gore started doing it. It was really close to about the same time.
Right.
And everybody thought this is great. This is a great idea. But there's a couple problems with it. One, once you cut down that tree, like that carbon's released in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Prematurely.
Yeah.
And then secondly, there was a 2007 study that said, it depends on where you put the tree.
Right.
If you put it in the tropics, then it actually will cut down on global warming.
Uh-huh.
Because in the tropics, trees not only cool the place,
yeah.
by evapotranspiration, it's actually warm enough that they produce clouds.
Right.
Which cool the rest of the earth.
Yeah,
so it's like a cloud factory down there around the equator.
Yeah, we hit that in the rainforest podcast.
Right, okay. In the middle climates where we live, it's pretty much a wash. If you plant a tree there for a carbon offset, it's not going to really have a net effect.
Right.
If you go up to the Borealis forests, which is a term you taught me recently, it actually can contribute to the heating.
The Boreal.
Boreal forests.
Yeah.
Well, the Aurora Borealis, which is what I understand now. It can contribute to the heating of the planet because, remember the albedo effect?
Yeah.
Well, up there, it's cold enough so that green canopy that's trapping sunlight and hence warmth is actually going to raise the temperature. This cold climate, cold part of the earth that you use to balance out the overall global temperature, if you plant trees up there, it'll warm it.
Where was Pearl Jam planting trees, do you know?
I don't know.
Hey, we mentioned Ticketmaster, too. They stuck it to those guys.
Yeah, they did. Remember Eddie Vedder wore, like, that German World War II helmet in court?
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was not happy.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Pearl Jam shirts at that Soundgarden show last night.
Yeah, how was it?
People, it was great. And my buddy ended up getting hooked up with VIP seats because he knows a guy at the Tabernacle.
Nice.
So we were literally, like, front row of the balcony right in the center.
Nice.
But the set list, man, they got to work on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's one of those deals where I don't want a complete nostalgia tour, but when you're coming back after that long, no one wants to hear 7 songs from your new album.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, if you're trying to kickstart your career again. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was a decided energy change in the room when they were doing like Bad Motorfinger and Screaming Life and Louder Than Love, and then they were doing whatever that new album's called, which I don't care for.
Here Comes the Sunshine.
Like everyone was just kind of like, oh, okay, another one of these.
Yeah.
Except for like, you know, the drunk 18-year-old near me.
Yeah, woo, this is like, the only song I've heard.
Yeah.
Finally, one I recognize.
But yeah, good. He sounded great, man. He's amazing.
Well, I'm just glad that Pearl Jam fans and Soundgarden fans are apparently getting along now.
Sure.
It was rough there for a while.
Yeah, and then you factor in Alice in Chains, it got really ugly. Go look it up, kids. Music of the 90s.
You got anything else about stupid trees?
No.
Oh, I do. I have another thing. So, you remember the 2007 study I was just talking about?
Yeah.
Where I misused Borealis?
Yes.
A 2013 study.
This year.
Yeah. Said, you know what? Nuts to that. Nuts to Lawrence Livermore Laboratory.
Uh-huh.
We have a computer model that says that if we doubled the amount of forests, including boreal forests, and especially, I think, boreal forests, as soon as possible, we would lower the global temperature by a full 1 degree Fahrenheit. So it would offset that 20th century increase, possibly.
Yeah, over the last 100 years. It's crazy.
Yeah, and we would increase summer rains by 10 to 15%, all by 2071.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, at the earliest, but still.
So is there a plan in place, or was that just like, hey, we should do this?
Somebody's like, well, what can I do with the computer model today?
Right.
How about trees?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good for them.
Yeah.
Plant a tree. I'm sure there is a program in your community where you can go out and sponsor a tree to be planted.
Yeah, but God help you if you plant one in the northern climes because you're part of the problem.
All right. You got anything else?
No. If you want to learn more about trees and weather, type those two words into the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And I said search bar, which means it's time for a message break. Stuff you should know. All right. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right, and the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible.
That's right. It's even in the name. Use code STUFF20 at checkout to receive $20 off your first month. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month every month, taxes and fees included.
Yep. Again, use promo code STUFF20 and you'll receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Switch now at Visible.com.
For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
All right. Listener mail time?
Yes.
All right, great. I'm going to call this one Hottie Toddy from the land of Cotton and Faulkner because that was the subject line. And
right.
I was like, you know what? That one's so good. I'm going to use it.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
And I just kind of like the cut of this guy's jib. That's why I'm reading it. Guys, the name is David Holbrook.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm from a little town of Waynesboro, Mississippi. I'm currently a senior in my final semester at the University of Mississippi for my BA in political science. Go Rebs, should we say that? SEC team. I also work part-time in the parts department of the local GMC dealership here in Oxford, and I'm a bouncer on the weekends at one of the bars on the famous Oxford Square.
Busy, busy boy.
You ever been there, Oxford?
No.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, great college town. I'm a huge fan and just found, never found the gut to write you guys until today. I really enjoyed...
After my third mint julep,
yeah.
I put pen to paper.
I really enjoy throwing around the knowledge I learned from y'all in the workplace, although I sometimes think my coworkers get a little jealous and my girlfriend as well.
Yeah.
I have to say one of my favorite things about the show, I will admit, this is really random, is when Chuck whispers things at the end of sentences, which he does a lot. I have no idea what he's talking about.
That was a pretty poor example, but yeah.
I agree. I always laugh so hard because sometimes it seems as though Chuck does really not mean for us to hear those bits.
Right.
But he forgets he's in front of a mic. That might be true. I also really relate to you all in the way it seems...
Oh, wait. This guy's a fraud.
What?
Did he say you all?
No, I did. It's y'all.
Oh, okay. All right, he checks out.
I really relate to y'all in the way that it seems we have held many jobs in our past that makes us well-rounded people. While I feel like I'm rambling on with this nonsense, I will continue with the fan mails and maybe with some filled with more interesting and beneficial substance. Thank you from the land of cotton and William Faulkner, David Holbrook Jr. Random fact about me, P.S. I grew up on a chicken farm. We have 8 chicken houses with anywhere from 250,000 to 350,000 chickens at one time.
Jeez. In 8 houses?
That's what he said. Those are big chicken. Yeah, you know, chicken houses are huge.
Well, that's great. What's his name?
David Holbrook Jr.
Thank you.
And I'm sure one day we will get a David Holbrook III.
Yeah. If we keep doing this long enough.
Yeah.
David Holbrook Jr., thank you very much for writing in. Chuck, did you practice reading that one?
No, and I kind of went back and forth with the accent like Kevin Costner and Robin Hood.
Right. Or Dances with Wolves or
yeah.
Waterworld. but I'm impressed.
Thank you.
And I think like you hit all the emphasis just perfectly.
No, I'm from the South. Foghorn Leghorn is in my blood.
Yeah. I'm more like that little chicken with the glasses.
I'm a chicken hawk and you're a chicken?
No. The little one who never talked.
Oh, okay.
Who just read all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little jerk. Him. If you are, I don't know, stereotypically regional, we want to hear from you.
Agreed.
You can send us a tweet to SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. You can email us. We understand. You can send it to stuffpodcast@discovery.com. And check out our website, guys. It's stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
This podcast is brought to you by BASF, the chemical company.
Are you thirsty? Well, Richard's rainwater is caught clean before it even hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of still rainwater or the cold pressured bubbles of sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And for a coupon, text STUFF to 251-292-8887 and receive $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater.
Childproofing people's homes is hard. But Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.